big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Bush and Richie with your Home Time Daily Takeaway podcast for All Hallows Eve, otherwise known as Halloween.
Good old Halloween.
By the time we get back from the live version of this particular podcast, Halloween done and dusted, really. I know there's a big bowl of sweets out on the side, and in my mind, I'm trying to visualise how much is going to be left of it for when I get back.
Yeah.
And my visualizations always come to nothing.
What is in there? There's nothing there for you when you get back.
I don't think there's going to be anything left. And obviously, that's not down to my son. That is down to the local kids. And I just think these days, kids are more grabby.
Greedy beggars.
Greedy.
I nearly said the bad word then. I'm so sorry.
I think we knew where you were going.
Thing is, though, right, for me, I think I'm going to have quite a few malted milks left over. Because you remember we talked about this on the show?
You can't believe you've gone through with this.
They are. I still think they are legit biscuits to be handing out on trick-or-treating. We'll find out later on when I get back. I am playing a bit of the long game there, because I know that kids will probably be like, I'm not interested in malted milk.
No.
I'll have, give me some of the wine gums, but I'll play the long game.
Well, you see, the long game could be quite short though, my friend, because what you're forgetting is the other part of trick-or-treat, and that is the trick bit. Because if that is your definition of a treat, you could find that you got your car egged.
Well, wait, is that what the we haven't really talked about this. What is the trick? Do people really know what the consequences are if they don't say treat?
See, these days, everyone's pushed down the whole treat bit, isn't it? Because the concept was trick or treat.
Yeah.
And it was on you to be able to open the door and go, I don't have any treats, so yeah, I'll take the trick. So like, what's fair game these days?
What is, genuinely, if you listen to this now and you are aware of what the going thing is for the trick, is it bananas up exhaust pipes? A la Beverly Hills Cop?
Silly string.
I mean, just let us know, because we just don't know what it is. The game's gone. Hometime at absoluteradio.co.uk.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Wishing you all a happy Halloween. Is that how you say it? Happy Halloween? Is that
I
the right way?
So, yeah.
You wish someone a happy Halloween by the water cooler?
It's not really necessarily a happy thing, is it? It's more sort of like a...
spooky.
Ghouly thing.
Ghouly?
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it. But, like, let's think of Halloween for a second, right? This is when they wheel out all the usual suspects to scare you, isn't it? Skeletons, goblins, witches, that kind of thing. That's what people will be dressed as tonight for trick-or-treating. They always do for Halloween. But do you ever think to yourself, when you see people dressed up as these kind of usual tropes from the world of horror, life's more complicated than that. And I think the stuff that they don't show you in horror movies are the little things in life that end up scaring you more, way more than a werewolf. So it's like the stuff that ain't supposed to be scary sometimes can be more scary than stuff that's intended to scare you. For example, when I was a kid, my nana had a lot of like religious stuff in the house. Mm-hmm. Like when we used to go to her house when we were kids, it'd be like... Glow-in-the-dark Virgin Marys. I mentioned it before on the show, but stuff like that, that's quite scary, I think, overall. Or clowns. They're not supposed
clowns,
to be scary.
No, exactly.
And they're really, really scary. Or bare bulbs in bathrooms.
Bare bulbs in bathrooms?
A light bulb on its own in a bathroom.
Okay.
And maybe if it takes a little while to flicker and then light up properly, that's scarier than a vampire.
Yeah, that would be scary, yeah.
It's the little things. So I thought maybe this first hour of the show, given that it is Halloween, maybe we could build on a project that we started on the Indie Disco on Saturday night just gone, thinking loads of people would be trick-or-treating and they didn't. So now is actual Halloween. Have a think about stuff that is kind of accidentally scary, isn't meant to be, but just scares you for some reason.
Lifts.
You don't like lifts?
Don't like lifts, no. It's got to be, for me to get in a lift, it's got to be a brand new lift with absolute certainty that it's not going to break down. If I go in a lift and there's a slight little wobble or a noise, then I'll write off that lift forever and ever and ever. And I also hate heights, so a lift's going to take me high somewhere. So
bad combo.
Yeah, lifts, to me, scary things. No.
Weird you say that. I don't know if this is an 80s thing, but I felt it was a lot of like people trapped in lifts.
Absolutely.
In the 80s.
Yeah. When I think about like going to a shopping centre in the 80s with my mum, I'd hate going in a lift in a multi-storey car park.
Well, Trowbridge, the shopping centre called the Shires when I was a kid in the 80s, if you know the Trowbridge, hashtag Trovegas area, There was a lady who I think was trapped in there pretty much all day.
Yeah.
And there was people congregating out in the park, watching the fire brigade getting her out. And they got her out in the end. But that put everyone off lifts. It was an 80s thing.
I think the 80s lifts are worse than now. Like, they were darker. Yes. And also, I think people have got their... They've got themselves organised with fixing lifts quicker than they did in the 80s.
Yeah, it was like a longer wait for some reason. It always reminded me of the beginning of Edward Woodward's The Equaliser.
And also,
the
80s
bit, the
movies had loads of, like, lifts dropping.
There's a lot of lift drops.
Yeah.
So have a little think about it, right? We're compiling a list of things in life that are scary but aren't meant to be. Mark says, he's got a great list here. Mark says, old people's homes, in-laws' photo albums, garages where you obviously have no idea about a car engine, dentists with bad breath, pubs in the middle of nowhere. Interesting stuff that's coming in from you guys. Greg says, squeaking lift doors. Mark says a doorbell after 9 p.m. Actually, anyone calling after 9 p.m. on your phones, like, who's this?
Mm.
Jackie says tomato stalks that look like dead spiders. She sent a photo and they do look like dead spiders.
Trudy wants to put forward just feet, full stop.
Some people have got a real problem with feet. I'm at peace with my feet, but maybe other people aren't.
Some people go completely the other way with feet, don't they? They're not scared by them.
Going to earn some money on Facebook Marketplace, that's for sure.
Laura, what scares you that shouldn't?
Bananas? Yes.
Have you had a bad experience with a banana, Laura, dare we ask?
No, she's completely freaked out by them.
What about them? Their shape, their colour, their texture, their taste?
Mostly the skin.
Wow, you mean like the outside peely skin or that little kind of weird like bit in the middle?
Yeah, it all goes brown, the outside, and sticky and horrible and
The inner stuff, the stringy rind, banana rind,
yeah.
That might be the wrong term, horrible.
No, the whole part of the skin.
So you miss out on stuff like banana splits or, you know, all that stuff that they used to do in Wimpy with cream down the centre and everything, Laura. You're missing out on all these things.
Yeah, I don't eat any bananas or anything banana flavoured.
If someone came running at you with a banana, what would you do?
I'd run away. I was actually on a ship in Tenerife when they brought out trays of them. I went over to jump in the sea.
What a way to go overboard.
Yes.
Natalie Trott says carpets in bathrooms. That's quite scary. Graham says your child standing silently at the edge of your bed at 3 a.m. And Kitty says ceiling artex, horses and hearing an owl on your nighttime walk.
Lauren is still terrified of E.T. Says since I was a kid he freaked me out. His red finger lighting up gave me trauma. I cannot watch it still.
Him, the bit at the beginning where they see or bump into E.T. in the cornfield is terrifying. Then again, though, that's counterbalanced by E.T. looking pretty fetching when he's dressed as a lady. Do you remember that? Liam is on the line right now. Liam, what thing do you find scary then?
The mother-in-law.
Okay, so you're putting forward here on this national radio show that your mother-in-law is scary but isn't something that you'd normally see in a horror movie.
Terrified.
Do you want to say what your mother-in-law's name is, just so we can add a bit of context?
Mel, which is the same as my own mum's as well, and she's as scary, so...
Okay, so both as bad as each other.
He's scared of mother figures, Liam. This is turning into some counselling session.
It's okay. It's fine. It's fine, Liam. What does Mel do, your mother-in-law, Mel, that scares you the most, Liam?
I think it's just when I turn up and she says hello and I walk in with a daughter and I'm like, oh, God.
Pit of stomach feeling. What do you feel like you're gonna get? It's like a trap or you're going to let yourself down or get caught out?
I'm just going to get caught out. It's just the initial hello. Once we get past that bit, it's all right. It's the initial hello.
I don't want this to get too deep, but you're only going to fear getting caught out if there's something to catch you out, Liam.
Oh, no, don't start that. No.
Right, okay.
Let's let him go, shall we?
Let him go, yeah. He's not got in touch for counselling.
The Daily Takeaway. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
How about this for your commute? A station local to me, Stevenage train station, has caught a little bit of attention this week. There's a station cat, all right? So the cat doesn't belong to the station.
Uh-huh.
Actually belongs to a lady called Natasha. But this cat likes ambling up to the station every morning and just sitting on the ticket barriers, on the gates, just sat there like royalty, watching all the commuters go by, loving it because the cat gets petted, then disappears again, and then comes back again for the evening rush hour because it knows there's going to be busy people again so and get more attention.
It even goes home for lunch.
Yeah, comes back.
Aware of the shift patterns.
Best of both worlds. But the staff at the station say it's fantastic because they've noticed that it cheers up all the commuters going through. People take their pictures. There's even sort of like a Facebook group that's been set up for people to share their photos with Nala the cat.
Well, I mean, I remember the school run to Crouch End where my eldest daughter goes to school. There was a cat that was famous for years. It was in loads. It had its own Instagram account. No one knew who actually owned it, but he used to sit on the like the junction box for the traffic lights near Priory Park in North London, and it was like a legend. But it gave you a morale boost walking past it.
Been thinking about it. You always hear in the news about, oh, how are they going to improve our transport and all that kind of thing. Don't you think that just a simple effect would be to give every train station a cat?
Yeah. I mean, like, I get on the loop a lot accidentally. Yeah. The loop cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes quite disappointing. You've got a lot more stations to go through.
But you could even widen it to just workplaces. But then there are some workplaces where that wouldn't work. If you think about if we had a radio station cat, lovely idea. Improve the morale of all the presenters. Not that it needs improving, but you couldn't like leave it in a studio because you just walk across all the buttons and suddenly take a few million listeners off air and all that kind of
thing. Well, we've got a cat. It's called our producer, Adem.
Well, that's true, yes. Yeah.
Wanders off and gets fed by other presenters for a bit.
Think about your workplace, all right? Think about your workplace. If you added a cat to your workplace, would it make it a better or a worse place?
So my initial thing would be to like maybe think about an unusual workplace, because we covered the whole radio thing. But like, say if you were, you worked as a pilot on an aeroplane, would having a cat on board, because I know a lot of people are nervous flyers, then that might help. But then if you go and do that thing that pilots do where they go and get a cup of coffee for 5 minutes, come back and the flipping cat's on top of your joystick. Couldn't think of any words of anything that would be in a cockpit. VOR. There you go.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. Much. Dale says in Huddersfield, two train station cats upping the game of Stevenage from earlier. They have their own calendars and Christmas cards.
What about that? I like the fact as well that if one's tired or off and wants to have a bit of time away, they can kind of swap shifts.
Chris is in Leicester, says we have two office dogs already.
Wow.
So adding a cat to the workplace would certainly make it interesting. If you added a cat to your workplace, better or worse?
It's a bit of cat maths this evening on the show. Someone who loves cats is Tracy Patterson, who sent us some photos on Twitter. She says, I love seeing cats when I go places. I met Felix and Bolt in Huddersfield Station. Loads more cats, including the late Garfy in Sainsbury's and Eli in Cambridge, sir. She's one of those people, I think, who makes friends with local cats when you go to Greece. Wants to bring one back.
Rob, talking about a rather different workplace animal. What have we got here then, Rob?
It's a school therapy dog.
School therapy dog.
Oh, I love that concept.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Bear.
Okay, kind of a friendly bear, not like a grizzly.
Definitely not like a grizzly, no.
Does it carry tobacco around in a little barrel?
No, not at the moment.
That would be a St. Bernard. What make is it? Well, breed, rather, sorry. Not make, it's not a car. What breed?
To be perfectly honest, I don't actually know what breed it is. I know it's a cross, but I don't know what it's a cross between.
Okay, so you just got this dog that's roaming around your school. You're not entirely clear about what it does in there. But it obviously lifts morale and everything, I guess.
Yeah, it's certainly used as a therapy dog for the students, but obviously the staff are quite attached to it as well.
But you know, that if it does have the barrel bit, like, a little bit like the St. Bernard's, you could have like stuff, you know, chalk in there for teachers. That'd be right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because of course they still use that.
How far are you going back?
I apologise. All right then, a special 3D pen for a whiteboard.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Mark says, evening guys, on the cat situation, I agree, it's definitely a morale booster. I work for my local police service, and for years at the station where I was based in emergency response, we had a local cat that infiltrated our station every day through the open windows and often sat in the inspector's office, especially on those wet and windy days. No idea who actually owned him. He was a delight to have in the station. We named him after a colleague who also liked to stay in the station overnight, who shall remain nameless. Those who know. Stay safe, guys. Thank you.
Mike is hanging on with a story of another workplace cat, although this is quite some workplace. Where are you, Mike?
I'm based at RF Cosford, and sadly Optimus has passed, but he used to come and stand with us or sit with us when we used to check IDs and car passes coming through the gate, and he'd be sat on the guard post next to you. And the owner was rather shocked one day as we checked their IDs, she's looking at Optimus and she went, "That's my cat."
Amazing.
He highlighted our day on the gatepost.
It's interesting. There seems to be a theme developing here that cats quite like being in positions of authority.
Yeah, they do.
Sat on the ticket gate there. And then, you know, at the head of an RAF base.
He had a stance about him.
I bet. He's a forces sweetheart now, I guess, isn't he?
So was he actually called Optimus? So when the actual owner came by, did she know him as something else?
No, that was his name. It was their cat. We didn't know him as Optimus. It was their child in the back seat. When there's Optimus. And that woman goes, "That's our cat." We were on his round, as it were. And he joined us on the gate, stand on the fleet, and just sit there all for the proper.
Well, Optimus is in Optimus Prime,
must
right? Must be, surely.
Yes, he does.
What a legend.
Yeah.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Time for you to blow our minds in Mind Blown. The chance for you to get in touch and tell us about how you do something differently and in a way that will make us go, wow.
Wow.
We never heard of that. We've got to try that ourselves. Or maybe there's a fact that you know that you don't think enough people know. You want to share that knowledge by introducing it to us and we'll be like, wow, I never knew that. That's what Mind Blown's all about.
That's what it's all about. And hoping to become a star tonight on the show with a fantastic fact about animals is Dave. Dave, take it away, mate.
Yeah. If you're chucking a bat out, you know, if you're sending it back to the wild, they can't turn left. So make sure you chuck it to the right and then you've got it in line of sight then. You can see it coming back to you. And you've got more chance of getting away from it, you know, because you don't want it coming back scrounging, taking all of your milk and your fruit and all that biz.
Yeah.
So, survival of the fittest and everything, send it out into the wild. But if you chuck it right, the little sod's not going to find you. Yeah?
That's good, because they kind of go clockwise. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Yeah. It's something to do with whirlpools and the moon or something like that, yeah. They teach you that stuff. They teach you that stuff in like bat school. You know what I mean?
So hang on. Just to really nut things down here. The fact here, and this is blowing my mind. Bats can't fly left.
No. They've got no idea, mate. No idea. You can sort of like. It's why they have a bad time with magicians, right? You know, magicians are always sort of like doing stuff on the wrong side of their head, so they don't know when they're being duped. But they can't fly left. If you ever watch any footage on telly, boom, all right. Like that.
That's a good point. It's almost like they're always giving way.
Yeah. Animal kingdom, mate, it's an absolute minefield. You know how it is.
The Daily Takeaway. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Home time on a Tuesday night. What a start we've had to tonight's Mind Blown with Dave from earlier on, who was putting forward the theory that apparently bats can't turn left.
Yeah, sometimes on this show I catch myself and I think, why? I'm doing this for work. In the duration of the last song, I have been trying to find to prove Dave's theory. One of my favourite films, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective 2, the scene towards the end of the movie when Jim Carrey runs out of... runs out of a cave with a load of bats following him. And I'm thinking, if this is true, what we just heard, then they will be flying to the right because bats can't fly to the left.
Visual evidence in many ways.
Can't find the clip.
Oh, what? Someone just says bat flying one way, total nonsense. Give it a Google. But it's at the moment, it's still out there. We can't prove or disprove it.
I've found a YouTube video. It won't play. I think copyright.
I love the fact that your search history on a work computer will be, can bats fly left?
No. My search history is Ace Ventura scene when bats fly out of cage.
I'm gonna message our boss Paul and think, I think Richie's actually watching films during the show.
That's why sometimes it goes slow around here.
So we'll take anything, yeah? Like, it doesn't have to just be a fact. It can be something that you do that's a little bit different, a way that make other people's lives better.
Next up, waiting, is John. Happy Halloween, John.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Good to have you on. Tell us your amazing fact or hack that's going to blow our minds.
Well, guys, I eat pizza upside down.
Okay. What?
Yeah, not me upside down, the slice upside down.
Right.
So you get a slice of pizza,
mm-hmm.
And you sort of fold it a little bit so nothing, all the fillings stay in the middle, nothing drops out, and then you take it towards your mouth and then flip it over and pop it onto your tongue so all the sauce and all the toppings on the tongue where the taste buds are and then you have a great mouth of pizza. It's fantastic. It tastes really great. And you haven't got that claggy dough on your tongue.
So you're kind of turning the more flavoursome bits to the taste buds of your tongue rather than the roof of your mouth. Is that the science behind this?
That's absolutely right, yeah. I was shown this about 2 or 3 years ago by a friend of mine, and it's a game-changer, guys, I'm telling you. Wow.
John. I love a pizza. Yeah. More than your average man.
Yeah.
I will try this because I'd like to think I was open-minded. However, yeah. Surely the whole point of eating and the action of eating and what the mouth and the tongue does and all that kind of thing is once it goes in, you chew so that your tongue can taste the mixture as it's all going round. If you're doing it your way, surely first of all you've got the chance to have a scalded tongue by the hot pizza. And secondly, what are you normally doing? Does it just go down like a flume into your mouth immediately?
Yeah, it sort of just pops in. You take a bite of it and take it back out and then do the other bit. But I'm telling you, once you've done it, Richie, once you've done it, you'll not go back. It's the way forward.
And you've never looked back since?
Never.
Never looked back since? You know, there's that thing that came out recently about people eating chocolate biscuits the wrong way around. So this is like the natural progression from that, isn't it?
There you go. There's no rules, guys. So there's no rules. You know,
no, that's
but,
true.
It's the way forward. Honestly, try it. It's a game changer. You won't go back.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Just go back to your malted milks thing from the beginning of this particular episode.
Yes.
I offered my 6-year-old. Is he 6? No, he's not yet. He's still 5 at the moment. Oh. Offered him a chocolate hobnob the other day. Thought he'd be excited with that. No.
Not interested?
No, I said bored with that. No, thanks, Dad.
How can you turn down a chocolate hobnob?
I know, that's what I thought.
I'm going to be thinking about that, the fact that he's turned it down all the way home on the train this evening. They're so good.